proclaims the kingdom all over. The kingdom's here. The kingdom's at hand. There's an anticipation. The real ruler has come. Then what does he do? He demonstrates the kingdom. Matthew chapter 12, actually throughout the whole, all the Gospels, he demonstrates the kingdom. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, if by the finger of God I cast out demons, then you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Why? Why, if Jesus casts out a demon, will you know that the kingdom of God has come? Here it is. It's about rulership, isn't it? Who is going to rule? Who's going to rule in your life? And rulership is all about who are you going to agree with? Because the one you agree with is the one who rules you. And so when Jesus comes to a man or a woman, remember the man who was filled with legion, right? He was psychotic. He was crazy. And Jesus comes up and eventually casts out the demons into the pigs who run off the cliff and are destroyed. What is going on there? What is happening in that one scene and many other scenes is this very thing. Who is going to rule? Who has the power to rule? Who is the true king? Satan and his kingdom, or God, the creator of all? The showdown has begun. And so for some reason, Satan had a right to rule in this man's life. We don't know what it was. Could have been anything. But Jesus came. And by the power of Jesus, by his power, he cast out these demons. What is the kingdom of God? What is the work of Christ? One word, exchange. That's what the cross is all about. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. The great exchange. One kingdom for another. And so when he casts out those demons and he comes and sanity returns, what is sanity? What is joy? What is peace? The glory of God, right? So when one kingdom leaves, that kingdom's glory leaves. That kingdom's right to rule leaves. And when Jesus comes and casts out a demon, when he comes and heals the sick, when he comes and performs miracles like raising the dead, he doesn't just leave it there. Because he wants there to be an exchange, not just a kicking out. He wants there to be a bringing in of his kingdom, of his glory, of his wholeness, of his life. And that work began deeply at the cross. So what about you? If you think back upon your life, how has God come in the power of his kingdom and set you free? How has he set your thinking free, your heart free, your emotions free, your relationships free? How has the Lord of glory come and not just kicked out darkness, but brought in his kingdom, his wholeness, his glory to your life? That is why the cross. Because Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom. He came to demonstrate the kingdom. And he came to secure his kingdom in our lives through his work upon the cross. What did he want to do at the cross? He wanted to bring you and I all the way back to the garden. That's what he wants to do at the cross. The place where his glory came, creation came, life came. And so at the cross, what did Jesus do? He did this. You and I were dead, weren't we? That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But if you look at the average non-Christian, they don't seem too dead, do they? They're running around and talking and working and having families and friendships and doing everything that you and I would do. So how are they dead? They're spiritually dead, aren't they? Why are they spiritually dead? Because they are disconnected from God. And your spirit cannot live until it is connected with God. And so at the cross, Jesus did this. He took you out of Adam, who was your first representative, and he put you into Christ, who is your new representative. But I want you to see it. I want you to believe it. I want you to go home and say, I'm not in Adam. I'm not in that cursed line. I'm not in that cursed race. And I no longer have to live as if I am. You're going to see tomorrow, someone's going to preach to you from Romans chapter 6. And that whole chapter is all about the exchange, isn't it? That person who was in Adam under the curse of sin with all the pollution of the devil, God loved so much. And it says in Colossians chapter 1:13, it says this: He, the Father, rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. How did he do it? Through Christ. That your person who lived in Adam, who was dead, cursed, living in absolute bondage to sin, God took that person and put you into Christ on the cross. Now, what happened on the cross? You're going to hear more about it tomorrow when we talk about the work of the cross. But what happened at the cross? When you were put into Christ, what happened at the cross? All of the evil of Adam's race, all of the curses, all of the bondages, all of the sins, all of the woundedness of being in Adam, living in the kingdom of darkness, were absorbed into Jesus. They came from you into him. And when Jesus died, you died. That old person died, taken out of Adam into Christ, and is dead. There is no person to live in Adam any longer. Jesus took all the curses from you into himself. And then on the third day, what happened? Jesus rose from the dead, didn't he? And you were in Christ in the grave. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him. To what? What does the Bible say? To newness of life. And at that very moment, when Jesus rose from the dead and you rose with him, you were born again. A brand new person. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, isn't it? Can you hear it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. What is that saying? Let me break it down for you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, those who have been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ are gone. The old creation, the old order, the old representative, the old kingdom is gone. And those who have been born again, at that very second, your spirit came alive. It connected with God. The glory of the living God began to flow from the heart of the Father into you. And you are coming alive again, receiving and reflecting the glory of the invisible God. Behold, all things are new. Why? Because I am now in Christ. Christ is my new representative. You are not living in the old line. There is a complete wall drawn between the two. You cannot go back. God cannot take you out of Christ and put you back into Adam. It cannot happen. You are in Christ forever, so much so that what has he done? He has seated you in the heavenly realms with him. Right now, according to Ephesians, you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you rose with Christ, you were ascended with Christ, you are seated with Christ, you are in Christ, and that means that everything of Christ is mine and yours. Please hear me. Already. Already. Right now. Jesus said, what? On the cross. What were his great words? It is finished. But this is the key. It's finished in heaven, but he's finishing it in you. As we learn to receive, as we learn to believe, as we learn to reckon it as true and to come and say, God, I want it all. I don't want to live like I'm still in Adam. Is that how you're living? We live defeated lives often as Christians, don't we? That doesn't mean we don't suffer. It doesn't mean there's not a lot of transformation left to do, because transformation takes us all the way into glory, doesn't it? That's when it ends. But it means this, that you believe who you are, even in the storm, even in the difficulties, even when I'm struggling, even when the darkness tries to come and prevail in my life, I can say, I am in Christ. I am alive. I believe God, even if I don't see it at this very moment. He said, he will finish the work he's begun. It's the promise of the Word of God, and it is the power of the cross. So one more verse, and then I want to pray. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, just in closing. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Actually, I want to read two verses, sorry. The first one I want to read is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. This verse is so unbelievably powerful. And I want you to hear it tonight. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That is why the cross. It's the place of riches. You might think, what? The place of death, the place of torture is the place of riches? Yes, because it's the place of the exchange. Jesus took your poverty so that you would have his riches. That's what it says. He became poor so that you could become rich. With what riches? His riches. His glory, his power, his life, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his cleansing of our conscience, his healing of our bodies, his restoring of our relationships, his breaking the power of rejection. That is wealth the world cannot give you, and it will never be taken from you. That's the exchange. And I want to ask you, do you want to be rich? That's the attitude we need to have. I want to be rich. Not with a new car, a bigger house, or no more money, because it will die. I want to be rich in the riches of the kingdom of God. Don't shy away from it. That's what I want to tell you. Run to the cross. Cling to Christ. Cry out and say, make me rich. I want to take off this coat of poverty, God. And that's what I had to do. I had to learn to take off the coat of the poverty of rejection. That coat of bondage, that coat of lies, that coat of agreement with the devil that was causing his kingdom to still rule in an area of my life. I was very poor. But I didn't have to live that way. Do you know that even when I was living in the poverty of my rejection, I was infinitely rich? And I didn't even know it. And that's true for Christians, because we're in Christ and seated with Christ. And what does it say in Ephesians chapter 1? And we're going to end there. Let's read that. Ephesians 1 verse 3. It says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, who has blessed us. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What's the tense there? That he will bless us? He has blessed us. Jesus said, it is finished. My work is complete. My treasures are stored up. Now he says, come and eat. Come and drink. Come and feast. Come and desire. It's like you're visiting a friend and they've invited you over for dinner and they've made all your favorite food and it's coming out of the kitchen, the aroma of it, and you're sitting there in the living room with other people and they're serving it on the table and you're sitting there and you're watching it. What are you going to do? Are you going to just talk about it? Oh boy, look at that food. That's my favorite food. You see that right there? I love that. Is that all you're going to do? Are you just going to listen to the cook explain to you how she made it and how amazing it was? And for the cook to say, wouldn't it be great if you could have some? Or are you just going to stand up in the living room and sing about it? How great the food is. Oh, thank you for the food. And you praise the cook. That's what we do in the church often, though, isn't it? We talk about it. We hear about it. We sing about it. We even crave it. But we just won't come to eat. And that is why there's poverty in the church. But tonight, let's eat. Let's have a revelation of the heavenly feast that you didn't prepare and you don't deserve, but is reserved for you in heaven. Not because you're good, not because you work hard, not because you had a great week or a good day, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is yours at the cross in the great exchange. He took all the evil and he gave you his righteousness. You'll be hearing more about those things this weekend. And so the dinner bell has rung. The offering has been given. And now we want to come and eat. Do you know that all those who come humbly, all those who confess, all those who come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't do it, but you can, and I believe you. And I want to tear up all those contracts of agreement with the devil. And I want my heavenly riches. I want the spiritual blessings stored up for me. Do you know that every single person who does that never gets turned away? Not even once in all of history. And tonight, God wants to bring greater riches to your life. In what ways are you living in the poverty of the kingdom of darkness? Because we all do it. Because we're not perfect and we're not fully transformed until we see Jesus face to face. It's a process. And this weekend, I want you to get comfortable with process. You know, there are different ways that God works. Two of his primary ways are, sometimes he does come quickly, doesn't he, and does a huge catalytic work, and wow, that person's really transformed, and that's amazing. And I want to pray for that, of course. I want to believe for that. But God's primary way of transforming you is through process. Why? Because he wants to do more than just change you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to hear from him. Remember Job? Job suffered a lot, didn't he? And at the very end, the very last chapter, God comes and Job realizes, whoa, okay, things are too great for me. I don't understand any of this, God. Okay, you're right. But then Job says this, and I love it. Job says, before all this happened to me, Lord, I had heard of you with the hearing of my ears. But now my eyes have seen you. That is God's goal for your life. That you won't just hear about him, but that your pain and your struggles and all of that poverty will drive you to him. And he will open your heart and open your eyes, and your testimony will be, my eyes have seen you, my great treasure, the glory of God, my created purpose. What about you? Tonight, what poverty does God want you to exchange? Because that is why the cross. What have you been struggling with? What are the lies that the enemy's been coming and speaking to you that you need to tear up that contract tonight? Renounce it and say, Lord, I agree. Please hear me. I agree, even though I don't feel it. I agree, even though I don't see it yet. I agree because I have faith. That's where it begins. That we trust God at his word. And then out of that comes the transformation of our lives through the cross, the Spirit, and the love of the Father invading our hearts every single day. So what I'd like to do tonight is just two things. One, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and reveal to us if there's any contracts of agreements that we have signed with the devil. Because that is what gives the devil the right to rule in an area of your life. And we want to recognize them and renounce them. That's what we do, right? Recognize and renounce. We don't dwell upon them. We get rid of them. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak the truth to us. What's the truth of his kingdom in this area of our life? And the truth of this kingdom is always transformation and life. That's the truth of the kingdom of God. He brings life, and life in great abundance, right? John 10:10. And so we're going to do those two things. And I want to invite you to participate, to not be a spectator, but to really believe that God's kingdom wants to invade your life even more tonight. And then, after we do that, We're going to take off the garments of our poverty, and we're going to put on the garments of the finished work of Christ through the cross. And we're going to believe tonight that his greater work is going to invade our hearts. That what will happen? His glory will come. That's our created purpose. That we will receive and reflect his glory forevermore. Do you want that tonight? I want it. Let's stand together, please. So I'm going to ask you now to participate in your transformation. That's not about me. It's about God. You and God. We will have an opportunity to pray for you, of course, because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that God works through his people into the lives of others. So we will do that. But I can pray for you all I want, but if you're living in agreement, then there's nothing. I can't break agreement for you, can I? I can't tear up that contract. You have to do it. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and bring revelation. And you know what may happen tonight? You may get a revelation of something you didn't even know was there. That's a good thing. But God will show you tonight. We'll just ask him for one thing tonight. One thing. Here I am controlling God, right? If he wants to give you two, he can give you two. But if we can do one, that's a good thing. So let's close our eyes. And just speak to your heart right now and say, believe. Believe God. And I want you to see right now, with your eyes of faith, that you are no longer in Adam. I want you to say it over yourself quietly right now. I am not in Adam. By faith, right now, see yourself in Christ. In the risen Christ. Seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. Jesus is your new head. He's your new representative. And you stand in him, clothed in him, not having a righteousness of your own, which comes from the law or good works, but that which comes through faith. Through faith. And so the Father looks at you right now in Christ and he says, you are righteous. Doesn't mean you're perfect in the earthly sense, but it means you have the righteous robe of Christ upon you. And that means you can live in the presence of the Father because he sees you through Christ. Lord, I pray that the revelation of being in Christ, of being clothed with Christ, just right now, just say to yourself, I no longer want my own works righteousness. I no longer want to think that I'm acceptable to God because I'm good. Because I've come to tell you, you're not good. God is good. And he gives you his goodness. That's the great exchange. That's the treasure. That's the riches. So clothe yourself tonight in heaven. In heaven's goodness. In heaven's righteousness. And just say right now as you're standing that I stand in the presence of God because of Christ's goodness. And Christ's righteousness. And I'm fully acceptable to the Father. And so I want to invite you right now, just quietly, right where you are, just pray this prayer. Just say, Holy Spirit, come and reveal to me any lies that I've been believing and just listen now. When the Father has spoken to you something, thank Him for it. Because remember, the Father never reveals anything to bring condemnation. He always reveals to bring freedom and life. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now of renouncing these lies. And when I say renouncing, I mean tearing up those contracts in your heart. Let's do that now. We don't want to live in bondage. And truth is the first step on the road to freedom. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of life. Come, Spirit of truth. Thank you for the revelation that you've brought to us tonight. I pray now that a great hatred for these lies would rise up in our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. So let's pray by faith right now. Pray out loud after me. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I choose tonight to agree with you. And right now, in your mighty name, I renounce the lies of the devil. I tear up these contracts in my heart. Right now, in Jesus' name, I renounce believing. I want you to name it. What are you renouncing right now? Name it. Speak it out. And as you speak it out, let it leave you. Tear it up. You do not belong to a lie. You are children of truth. Just cast it away from you right now. Take off that coat of lies, if that helps. Just take it off and say, I will no longer wear that lie any longer. I will no longer wear that deception anymore. It doesn't belong to me because I belong to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Come, Holy Spirit, empower it. Empower this renouncing right now. Empower this tearing up in our hearts and minds, these agreements, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I pray now that you would come and speak the truth. You are the Spirit of truth. And the truth is always life. It is always freedom. This is what the truth brings. It may be difficult to receive at times, but it always brings life. And so I pray that you would hear the Spirit right now speak to you. The truth that all your sins are forgiven. The truth that you are no longer condemned at all. The truth that you were not created to be rejected. But that you are loved. You are valued. You are accepted. You are affirmed. You are delighted in. You are received. Let the truth fill your heart tonight. That your sin has been separated from you as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more, ever, ever. It's only the accuser of the brethren who's been condemning you and reminding you, not the Father. Listen to him tonight. Let his delight fill your heart. Put that coat on right now, the coat of truth. Wear it. Come, Holy Spirit. Just for a moment, stand in this place. Stand in Christ. Stand by faith. Your past has been washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not your past. It does not define you. God does. Your wounds do not define you. Your struggles do not define you. God does. And so we're going to pray now. We've renounced these lies. And we want to give up the poverty and receive the riches of Christ through the cross. What poverty are you holding on to? Maybe it's poverty in your thinking. Maybe you're struggling in your thoughts. Maybe it's in your heart today, poverty of rejection or loneliness or a woundedness. A poverty in a relationship tonight that's struggling. What is it tonight that Christ wants you to come and say, Jesus, I exchange it? According to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that you became poor. You took it all. And I want your riches. I want the spiritual blessings that are mine. I choose to come and feast. Can we do that now? And then we want to come around and want to have an opportunity to pray. But I want to lead you in a prayer right now that you will hand your poverty to Jesus. Right in your heart, you'll say, this is not who I am. I don't want it anymore. I give it to you. Please fill me tonight and tomorrow and every day as I come with my spiritual blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that right now, and then we're going to come around and we're going to have an opportunity to pray. The power of the Spirit will come tonight and bring a great witness in our hearts that the glory of God has come in greater measure. Let's pray right now. Let's just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I give to you tonight this poverty. I don't want to hold it anymore. I give it to you tonight. You took it. Name it now. As you speak it, release it. Release it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let Jesus take it out of your hands. Let him take the weight off your shoulders. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Spirit of Christ, increase in our midst, we pray. More, Lord, more. And now by faith, begin to receive those riches, the transformation, the words of life, the treasures of Christ, His healing touch. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to invite Martin and Sheila and myself. We're going to go around and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray that Christ would come. Christ would come in greater measure with His riches to our lives tonight. Agree with this tonight. It's a process, but tonight is part of that. Tonight is the exchange. Tonight is the letting go. Tonight is rising up in faith and believing that God has more for us so that we can receive and reflect His glory. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. Let your Spirit come now and fill this precious daughter to overflowing. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, fill her tonight with your heavenly deposits, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. That's right. Let there be a rising of faith. In Jesus' name, more, Lord, more. That's right. Rise up, daughter. Come, Holy Spirit. Let greater freedom fill her tonight in Jesus' mighty name. That's right. Receive it. Receive it. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Fill this precious daughter tonight, I ask, in Jesus' name. Yes. Lord, robe her in you and your righteousness. Clothe her tonight with your glory. More, Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh, freedom. Fill her, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill her now, I pray. Keep receiving. You don't even need anyone to pray for you. You just need Jesus to touch you tonight. Just ask Him. Lord Jesus, touch this precious daughter, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. That's right. He sees your heart. He knows your heart. Touch her tonight, Lord, I pray. Lord, fill her heart. That's right. Just receive it tonight. Let Him bathe you in His love. Let His glory come. Agree with Him right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes. Keep receiving. The Lord of glory is here. Freedom. Power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Fill this precious daughter, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh. Spirit of life, come.